Staff blessings, everyone. Welcome, dear ones, to our Friday Night Staff Service on this October 24, 2025. Our Starbucks in style, Prophets and Kings. Our opening song is in style, Holy Sabbath, Day of Rest. Holy Sabbath day of rest, by our Master richly blessed. God created and divine, set us a holy time. Yes, a holy Sabbath. By our God divinely blessed, if to us the sun shall be throughout all eternity.
Seek the pleasures of this earth with his holy noise on earth. There are better things in store over on the other shore. Yes, this holy Sabbath rest, by our God divinely blessed, it to us the sun shall be through all eternity.
As the Sabbath joy dawned, Friday eve at set of sun, Christian household then should meet, sing and pray at Jesus' feet. Yes, the holy Sabbath rest, by God divinely blessed, it to us a sign shall be throughout all eternity.
Asking him for saving grace, also victory in the race, and to help us by his power to keep holy every hour. Yes, this holy Sabbath rest, by our God divinely blessed, it to also sign shall be throughout all eternity.
Now let us have a word of prayer, dear ones, and who would like to offer that for us? Please go. Feel free to do so.
Dear and gracious Heavenly Father Jesus, we thank you so much for the multitude of blessings that you bless us with throughout this whole week and bringing us into safe harbor of the Sabbath. We pray, Almighty God, that you please continue to be with us all throughout the Sabbath day. Be with the speaker for what is being brought forward, and help us all to be able to understand what we're about to read and to share. We thank you, dear Lord, and we pray for healing for anyone who is not feeling well, and strength to them and rest. We pray, O Lord God, that you'll please help us all to draw closer and closer to you, even as your day to return is getting closer and closer. We thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear Brother Joel. We're continuing in chapter 40 of Prophets and Kings entitled Nebuchadnezzar's Dream. We pick up our reading in our study book, Prophets and Kings, page 494, paragraph 1. Daniel's first step is to thank God for the revelation given. In our last paragraph in chapter 39, we left off to this request from our David. From what we read from last time is when Nebuchadnezzar had that strange dream and it kept him up for 3 days straight, and he was not finding any rest. And although he gave the command for all the other advisors and wise men in his country to give out what it meant, no, and its interpretation, no one could give an answer. And of course, what he's saying, what they replied was true. No person can tell what another person dreamed. And this fumed him so much that he decreed that all of them should be put to death. And Daniel and his friends would have been on that list too. But after Daniel inquired about why Nebuchadnezzar made the decree, he volunteered to do it, but he asked God's help to help him find out what the dream was and what it was meaning. And together with his friends, they prayed that God would help give them their answer and would give them the ability to know what the dream was and what it meant. And we'll continue to find out what happens afterward. Here we begin the first paragraph in that from chapter 8. Daniel's first act was to thank God for the revelation given him. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, he exclaimed, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and sets up kings. He giveth his wisdom unto the wise and knowledge. To them that know understanding, he reveals the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwells within him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desire to be, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Who would like to read the next paragraph? Please feel free to do so.
Going immediately to Arioch, whom the king had commanded to destroy the wise men, Daniel said, "Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation." Quickly the officer ushered Daniel in before the king with the words, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation." Prophets and Kings, page 494, paragraph 2.
Who would like to read the next paragraph? Please feel free to bubble up.
Behold the Jewish captive, calm and self-possessed, in the presence of the monarch of the world's most powerful empire. In his first words, he disclaimed honor for himself and exalted God as the source of all wisdom. To the anxious inquiry of the king, "Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, an interpretation thereof?" He replied, "The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men and the astrologers, the magicians and soothsayers, show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven, that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. PK 3 or 494 3.
Continuing, page 497, paragraph 1, for those that are not able to see the screen. Thy dream, Daniel, declare, and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets make it known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation of the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart.
Amen. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any ideas, any testimonies that people would want to speak up concerning this topic? Please feel free to speak up.
I just believe that it's very merciful of God to give the king the dream and then reveal it to him too at the same time. I just find that to be very, very merciful and loving for the whole nation, really, because the Hebrew captives were actually teaching the people the God of heaven. So it's really a wonderful thing.
You meant indeed, Brother Joe, it was a good thing. And I like to also include some lessons in my study that goes along with this part. It's more topics about more minerals. It's about two special kinds that go along with this part of the story. The first mineral is about called gabbro. It says here that gabbro is another created rock that is listed by mistake in rock and mineral books as an igneous rock. It has a texture or feel like granite and is very tough. It is coarse-grained and is made of dark minerals like olivine and augite. If gabbro gets extremely hot inside the earth, it will melt. When melted gabbro rock cools, it forms a different kind of rock called basalt. As gabbro rock can be changed into another kind of rock by being heated, so God uses fiery trials to change our lives. The fiery trial of the death decree changed Daniel's life. Because of it, he went from being a Hebrew captive to prime minister of Babylon. Do you think he was thankful for change? He must have been. Most of all, he was thankful because God had used him to witness about God's wisdom at the court of Babylon. When gabbro is observed under the microscope, crystal shapes can be seen in many colors. These granted minerals are olivine and pyroxene. This can remind us that when we examine Daniel's character more and more closely, we see many sparkling qualities. And furthermore, the Babylonian teachers could not tell the king the dream or the interpretation because they were not sensitive to God's voice. But in Daniel's case, it could be truly said, I have more understanding than all my teachers. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I spoke in Psalm 119:99-100. Our text says, God giveth wisdom unto the wise. This means that he increases the wisdom of those who are walking in all the life they have. When a person uses all the wisdom God has given him, then God gives him more, so it will be throughout eternity. And another mineral to know about is diorite. Diorite is another created rock that is commonly listed as an igneous rock. Why do you think it is darker than granite? Because there is no white quartz in it. Diorite has dark minerals of feldspar and hornblende. It is usually gray or dull green. It has a texture like granite. It's found especially here in New York and also in Massachusetts and in much of Canada. It is often found along with granite and has large crystals in it. Just as God formed separate individual crystals inside the diorite rock when he created it in an instant, so he was able to quickly form an image in Daniel's mind of the king's dream, we can be thankful that nothing great or small, simple or complex is too hard for God. Just as thankful as Daniel was for God showing him what Nebuchadnezzar's dream was and its interpretation, so we can be thankful for the wisdom he has given us. By the things we learn both from him, we can even understand what even the smartest people around may not be able to understand. Whether it be things in the law, things in nature, things in society, no matter what it be. God is the one who gives everyone the wisdom that they need to learn. And that was the case for Daniel and his friends. And that was definitely needed, so that way they can tell Nebuchadnezzar what that dream he had was informing. And that being said, by the wisdom he will give us, that's just what we'll be needing in order to give out his word, that people have the knowledge to understand. By speaking up these wise words given from the Lord who had it all in the first place, that's how others can learn to be just as wise as us. And just be smart enough to know how to handle whatever difficulties may come ahead. And we have God to thank for that. And hopefully they will learn about that as well. And as will the king, as will soon learn about. But let's continue on with this story.
And what I wanted to learn is what I have learned, forgive me, as we're listening to the reading and the story about the rocks, it brought about how is it going to be affecting us today, as in the time of Daniel. Daniel was given the interpretation of the dream through God, and there is dreams that are their sister has had, which has many instruction for our time. Especially where it tells you that it's going to be things that we shall be meeting in a lot of days. Because of the vision that was given to Sister White and through the prophets that has been written in the old, we, as we study, to study the events and also sit and learn at the feet of Jesus, we have the same privilege as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the testimonies are there for us to be able not to search outside of what the Lord has given, so we can know what is happening in our day. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is the richness that they had. They had a place to be able to go and look and see why these things were so. I have a testimony. I've been praying for a couple of people for such a long time, and I didn't know how to be able to bring the topic. And you know, the Lord brought the individuals to ask a question, and I had to pray, because that is a moment that we still have to give to God, for he will be the one to speak, because he knows what they came to do and what is the questions that they had. But with trembling in my heart also, not taking the opportunity to just go away from me, by taking a breath and walking away for a little bit so I can be able to recollect, to allow the Spirit to be able to work. It was very rewarding to see how the Lord, when we pray and we ask God for something that seems to be impossible, in His own good timing, He will be able to bring it to pass. And I just want to touch upon that two scripture that was being said in Psalms 119:99-100, which has how it's a blessing for us to have the testimony. And being that the world is in perplexity and everyone will know what's happening, and many will come and they're going to be moved by the Spirit to come to seek the information, and we can give it to them, not only so they can take it with themselves to study on their own, we know where to draw. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for thy testimony are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep the precepts. Psalm 119:99-100, and that is one of the encouragement that we do have, that if they ask the hope of our faith, we can draw from the testimonies. And we can be able to be helped by the Holy Spirit. And that's what I wanted to share.
Okay. Okay, that's how. Who would like to read the next paragraph?
Thou, O King, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, and his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Prophet and Kings, page 497, paragraph 2.
Who wants to go next?
Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth. Prophets and Kings, page 497, paragraph 3.
Amen. And who would like to read the next one? This is the dream, confidently declared Daniel, and the king, listening with closest attention to every particular, knew was the very dream over which he had been so troubled. Thus his mind was prepared to receive with favor the interpretation. The king of kings was about to communicate great truths to the Babylonian monarch. God would reveal that he has power over the kingdoms of the world, power to enthrone and to dethrone the king. Nebuchadnezzar's mind was to be awakened, if possible, to a sense of his responsibility to have the events of the future reaching down to the end of time and be open before him. Who would like to read the next paragraph? Please feel free to speak out.
Thou, O King, art a King of kings. Daniel continued, For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and fowls of the heaven hath he given into thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art his head of gold. Prophets and Kings, page 498, paragraph 1.
Isn't that amazing that with Daniel telling the king these precious words, he was given a chance for salvation as well? And to know that he was actually written in the writings and that the gift that he had really came from God? Even for those that are in high places, the Lord had allowed the word to reach them. Here he's given a whole lesson of the kingdoms of the world. So the Lord met the king where he was. Isn't that a blessing indeed? Exactly. Water and be watered by God's grace. Nothing is too hard for God. Anybody else would like to be able to share?
I just find that it's also amazing too that the Lord condescended to the king to help him to understand. It was such a high, to me, it's such an honor that the king had from the Lord of heaven to know about what is going to take place throughout history, even once he goes to the grave and would explain that to him. So that is a really, I just find that to be just so powerful.
Who would like to read the next two paragraphs, which are pretty short? Please feel free to do so.
I can read them. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. Prophets and King, page 498, paragraph 2. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all things shall it break in pieces and bruise. Prophets and Kings, page 498, paragraph 3.
Amen. Who will let you read the next paragraph?
And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Prophets and Kings, page 498, paragraph 4.
Amen. who would like to read the next paragraph?
In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure.
Who would like to read the following paragraph? Please go ahead.
The king was convinced of the truth of the interpretation, and in humility and awe, he fell upon his face and worshipped, saying, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this dream." Prophets and Kings, page 499, paragraph 2.
Amen. Before we continue, are there any other questions, any comments, any thoughts, any testimonies, anything that you like to speak out concerning, even what happened after this detail? Please feel free to give out.
It is amazing how Daniel was able to sit and tell him the interpretation. He saw from his time and his kingdom and the duration all the way to the end of the kingdoms, which he saw even today with the iron mixed with clay that was actually partly strong, but they wasn't really together. We could see it today, but the thing that is so amazing, that stone that destroyed the whole image, it's going to be the kingdom of Christ that shall be no end. So when we sit with our children or sit with anyone that wants to be able to know what is really happening today, we can be like Daniel, taking the interpretations that was given in the Word of God. And there is a rich blessing also in the spirit of prophecy. So we can do the same thing and be like little Daniel in this time, that we can share to those that are willing to hear. Because the Lord said there's going to come a time that they're not going to have the amount of time to sit down and study, but the Lord have the power to teach them in a moment. I just wanted to share that.
Amen. And that is a great thing you need to consider as well. And also, speaking of stone, there's another part of my state that goes along with another kind of stone. It may not be the one that destroyed the statue in the dream, but it has another spiritual insight. This type of mineral we're talking about is called basalt, which we learned from the lesson about the gabbro. Says here that basalt is a rock that comes from volcanoes. It is gabbro that has been melted down. The lava from a volcano may be very dark in color. As it cools, it turns into a black rock called basalt, which we've learned from earlier. Basalt is a very useful igneous rock. It is crushed and used in blocks, the buildings, and roads, just like granite. Prayer is not only useful, but an important way to know God's will. Remember to thank Him. Like a basalt road or walkway, Daniel was useful in leading others towards the kingdom of God. He showed the way by his own example. The metal image man was a useful way God showed King Nebuchadnezzar the future. Plus, we can see what each each part of that statue is supposed to represent. So just as the basalt rock has many uses is that the people use today, so we have many uses today. Our talent, our speech, our intellect, all that we have can be very useful in any way. And by using these things at the right time and with proper purpose, that's how people can get the idea of who we are, of what we, and who we represent. But by being helpful with our talents and gifts, that's how we're getting the gospel out all in the way to people who need to hear the gospel. And by being thankful that we have these things, we're showing God that we're happy what he made for us, what he did is for us, and how we're giving the word out that people may understand him. And that's even part of the goal. By being very busy with by our talents, by the different things God has developed in us, that's how we're giving the message out. By reading and gaining more of our knowledge, that's how we're getting more of these gifts and how many more juices that we're putting into it. That way we may be able to give out his word so that all may make choices whether to hear the gospel, to choose to love, understand, and to know God, or just not think about it. But overall, it's up for them to decide and once we give the word out. Who knows, just like they may hear and give praise to him, just like Nebuchadnezzar did. But and continuing the story, who would like to go next?
In the annals of human history, the growth of nations, the rise and fall of empires, appear as if dependent on the will and prowess of man. The shaping of events seems, to a great degree, to be determined by his power, ambition, or caprice. But in the Word of God, the curtain is drawn aside, and we behold above, behind, and through all the play and counterplay of human interest and power and passions, the agencies of the All-Merciful One, silently, patiently working out the counsels of his own will. Prophets and Kings, page 499, paragraph 4.
Amen. Who ought to be the following paragraph? Please feel free to talk.
In words of matchless beauty and tenderness, the Apostle Paul set before the sages of Athens the divine purpose in the creation and distribution of races and nations. God that made the world and all things therein, declared the Apostle, has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. They might seek the Lord, and haply they might feel after him and find him. Though they be not far from any one of us, they must see the Lord and have softly. There might be enough to him and find him. He's never too far away from us, as Apostle Paul has said, that if we seek him, we have the word of God where we can be able to find what each and every one that has been created by him may be able to see him. Through his blood and mercy, we still can be able to behold him. In Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. By having, these words in our mind and memories, that is how we'll be able to gain more wisdom and how we can be able to give out God's message to the people today. And from Daniel's story and from the apostles and even to today, we by giving such messages like these, we can help people will be more aware of what is happening and that they may find themselves to repent from their ways and to go back to seek the Lord. Or just like in the verse, or by wanting to know about God, then that's how they may be able to find the solution that they're needing in order to have salvation and to be saved from sin. That's what God intends for most of the people today. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
God has made plain that whosoever will may come into the bond of the covenant. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37. In the creation, it was his purpose that the earth should be inhabited by beings whose existence would be a blessing to themselves and to one another and an honor to their creator. All who will may identify themselves with this purpose. Of them it is spoken, "This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21. Prophets and Kings, page 500, paragraph 2.
Amen. Who would like to read the next paragraph? Please feel free to speak up.
In his law, God has made known the principles that underlie all true prosperity, both of nations and of individuals. To the Israelites, Moses declared of this law, "This is your wisdom and your understanding. It is not a vain thing for you because it is your life." Deuteronomy 4, 6 and 32, 47. The blessings thus assured to Israel are on the same conditions as in the same and in the same degree assured to every nation and to every individual under the broad heavens. Prophets and Kings 500, paragraph 3.
Does anyone have any comments, any questions, any testimony, any idea, any thought they want to speak concerning these paragraphs? Please feel free to speak your mind.
God made promises to Israel, and they still believe those promises are good. But all promises are based on obedience. And they were disobedient. That's why they're rejected as a nation now.
That's right, Brother Dick. By having the covenant, that means they were making an agreement with God. By obeying his laws, his principles, that's how they will stay a holy nation and how they be different from all others, because they were following him while all the other nations were giving praise to false idols that can't do anything. Well, of course, all they did was just copy what their neighbors did, and that is what lost them their divinity and their connection with God. But they were supposed to obey his commandments. And the top one says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And yet they already disobeyed them many times, from the time they were in the wilderness even to before the Chaldeans invaded their land. And although prophets like Elijah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and many others try to give the word out so that people can understand what they were doing was wrong, still they just went back to doing it anyway, and even pretended like they never knew anything about these messages. They shouldn't matter no matter where you are, either Israel, either or in any of the countries in Asia, Europe, Africa, or wherever. God accepts everybody. After all, he made the whole world. He has no exception. And all he wants us is for people to love, obey his law. And by obeying everything that he has said, that's how their covenant stays solid and how it's kept. And that is where true wisdom lies. By having dependence, love, and trust in the Lord God. And that was the case Daniel had along with his friend. And that is what helped them accomplish their goal, helping interpret the king's dream. And just as Nebuchadnezzar learned about one true God, he's not the only one. Many people who aren't Israelites, even people today, can know the truth about who God is and what he wants. And by letting them know this interpretation, not Nebuchadnezzar knows that the one true God is real, and that he is the one who gives all wisdom, all things that are good all over the world. And for those who trust in him, that they're rewarded with wisdom and great other things will come in their future, all because they depend on him and not themselves.
Amen. And to be able to confirm what our dear Brother Dick and also Brother Josh, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, show the condition of why the Israelites, when they was walking with God, they was commandment keepers, and they took all the statutes and judgment. But when they lose that, they were not able to be guided, because that was their wisdom. And it reads in verse 5, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land where ye go to possess it." And number 6 said, "Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your wit and your understanding in the sight of the nation, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." And a little quote from Desire Ages tells you about that verse 6. "But the Israelites fixed their hopes upon worldly greatness. From the time of their entrance to the land of Canaan, they departed from the commandments of God and followed the ways of the heathen. It was in vain that God sent them warning by his prophet. In vain they suffer
the chastisement of the heathen, oppression, every reformation was followed by a deeper apostasy. And that's the same thing that happened with the people that the Lord had gave the depository of his word, the SDA, instead of taking the counsel that God had given them, that they may prepare people, they decided to go to the world and to learn the things of the world, and they left their wisdom and their understanding. Lesson not learned is lesson repeated, and that will be the same for us. If the Lord had given us a responsibility, not only within our own home, but anyone that comes in our presence or influenced by us, we have a responsibility. If we don't take the word of God to be our counsel and go and take counsel by man that doesn't have the ability to save himself or save anybody else, we will fall in that same condemnation. So by God's grace, if we hold on to Jesus and stay at his feet, the Holy Spirit will continue to lead us as the promise that was given, and I just wanted to share that.
Who would like to read the next paragraph? Please feel free to either read away.
Hundreds of years before certain nations came upon the stage of action, the Omniscient One looked down the ages and predicted the rise and fall of the universal kingdoms. God declared to Nebuchadnezzar that the kingdom of Babylon should fall, and a second kingdom would arise, which also would have its period of trial. Failing to exalt the true God, its glory would fade, and a third kingdom would occupy its place. This also would pass away, and a fourth, strong as iron, would subdue the nations of the world. Prophets and Kings, page 501, paragraph 1.
Who would like to read the next paragraph? Please feel free to do so.
And the rulers of Babylon, that richest of all earthly kingdoms, kept always before them the fear of Jehovah. They would have been given wisdom and power, which would have bound them to him and kept them strong. But they made God their refuge only when harassed and perplexed. At such times, failing to find help in their great men, they sought it from men like Daniel, men who they knew honored the living God and were honored by him. To these men, they appeared to unravel the mysteries of providence, although the rulers of proud Babylon were men of the highest intellect, they had separated themselves so far from God by transgression that they could not understand the revelations and warnings given them concerning the future. Prophets and Kings 501:2. In Daniel 12, it says, none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And this happened back then, too.
Who would like to read the next paragraph? Please feel free to do so.
In the history of nations, the student of God's word may behold the literal fulfillment of divine prophecy. Babylon, shattered and broken at last, passed away because in prosperity its rulers had regarded themselves as independent of God and had ascribed the glory of their kingdom to human achievement. The Medo-Persia realm was visited by the wrath of heaven because in it God's law had been trampled underfoot. The fear of the Lord had found no place in the hearts of the vast majority of the people. Wickedness, blasphemy, and corruption prevailed. The kingdoms that followed were even more base and corrupt, and these sank lower and still lower in the scale of moral work, from gold to silver to brass, from brass to iron, from iron, iron and clay. That's why none of the kingdom could stand, and Jesus' kingdom will stand forever. For the law of God became the fulfillment. Now it's not only in the land of the new kingdom that will not fall, but also in the heart of man, which was supposed to be from the very beginning.
Amen. Indeed. By giving this interpretation of, you know, what those other kingdoms from the image each have meant, and they're already showing the future, both we hear in books and documentaries, and also what we're viewing as even in today's world. So these places were supposed to be knowing that God is the one true God, but since God was out of their thought, they couldn't gain the wisdom that Daniel had, or even the wisdom that we're needing today. Although all these other kings and other rulers, first from Babylon and beyond, had many powers and much power and strength in to rule the kingdom they had, they still didn't have the intellect that God needed them to have, the dependence on Him. They may have trusted their own ideas, and that was, of course, the whole world's downfall, pride in themselves and not upon the one who made them or had them. They never knew God's laws and never cared. By prying on their own success, the world was already losing its connection with God, not just Israel only, but for the rest of the world. And that was more the reason why people like Daniel and other prophets like Hosea, Ezekiel, Joel, Jeremiah, and many others need to give the word out. Only then will their reward be gained, all because they have their trust in the Lord. So, like it said, the Lord can put kings on throne, but they can also be dethroned. If Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom will not last forever, as will all the other ones who will soon meet the same fate, both at each other's hands. But like Daniel will interpret it, God's kingdom will last forever, and there will be no one or nothing to take it away. And all because we put our trust more in Him, then that's how all wisdom, all faithfulness, all obedience, all goodness will be gained and will be saved. We'll now read just one more paragraph before we close today's service. And who would like to read it?
The power exercised by every ruler on the earth is heaven imparted, and upon his use of the power thus bestowed, his success depends. To each the word of the divine watcher is, I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5. And to each the words spoken to Nebuchadnezzar of old are the lesson of luck. Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Daniel chapter 4, verse 27, Prophets and Kings, page 502, paragraph 1.
Well, I see we only have just two paragraphs left, so we can just spare an extra few minutes. Who would like to read them so we can end today's service?
Continuing to understand these things, to understand that righteousness exalts a nation, that the throne is established by righteousness and upholded by mercy. To recognize the outworking of these principles in the manifestation of his power, who removed kings and set up kings. This is to understand the philosophy of history. Proverbs 14:34, 16:12, and Proverbs 20, verse 28, and Daniel 2, verse 21. Patriarchs and King, page 102, paragraph 2. And the last one, which will conclude our chapter 40. In the Word of God, only in this clearly set forth, here it is shown that the strength of nations as of individual is not found in the opportunities or facilities that appear to make them invisible. It is not found in their boasted greatness. It is measured by the fidelity with which they fulfill God's purpose. What a beautiful way to end, dear ones. We are going to end our reading for tonight on this page 502, paragraph 3. And we're going to begin a new chapter by God's grace the next time we meet in our Friday night services. That will be chapter 41 entitled The Fiery Furnace.
Amen. Before we go on to our closing song, would anybody like to give any last thoughts, any last comments, questions, testimonies, anything that they like to give out before we come to our song? Please feel free to speak up.
I'm just so very, very glad, elated even, that the Lord is in control of everything. And man is not, and that is really a rejoicing in itself.
Amen, indeed, Virgil. Even I have one last thing in before we go on to our song. It's just one last mineral lesson. And this last mineral I'll mention is called obsidian. Obsidian is an igneous rock. It is also made by a volcano, like the other ones I read about. When the lava runs out of the volcano, it often cools very fast and makes a rock called obsidian. Obsidian looks like colored glass. It is a natural glass come in many colors. It should be a natural thing to thank someone for a kindness they do for you. We are told the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts that made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the life in Babylon. Daniel was naturally thankful, and Daniel requested of the king, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the power of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king, as spoken of in Daniel 2:48-49. Obsidian is hard, but also brittle. It can be chipped into thin-edged pieces. The natives of the western United States often used it for making arrowheads and knives because of its hardness, because it was easy to make sharp edges on. It polishes well to make a pretty, semi-precious stone. Obsidian, being changed from a common rock to a semi-precious rock, reminds us of how God polished the Hebrew captives and then displayed their beauty and character by giving them honorable positions in Babylon. So from the lessons we should learn about from the obsidian, but by having God be our polisher, we already show what beauty, what wisdom, what honesty, what good things we have on the inside as well as the outside. And by sharing the gospel out, we're already giving in the Lord's word's light to shine and through us. By his words that are coming out of our mouths, by how we express it, by even reading it, we're already giving people the message that they need to hear. And that they should learn that God is the one who gives all wisdom and all things that are good. And that's what they need to be grateful for. And Daniel was already grateful for what God had done. Not only was he appointed to be ruler and his friend, but they also saved the lives of all the wise men and advisors. If it wasn't for them, they'd be put to death all for no reason. Even though they served all sorts of other heathen kings, this is not the fate they deserve. I don't know if they were ever thankful that Daniel's wisdom from God saved their skin, but who knows? Some were made grateful, and others may have just discarded the thought of being saved by captives. But overall, they did a good thing. They were thankful that God helped them through it all. We should be thankful that God helps us with the task that we're given. If the more we depend on him, the greater things will be. And the more we obey his rules, his precepts, then great things will happen to us too, all because we spoke out the truth. And all because we depend on God for it, all things will work out, both for us and for everyone else. And that's the last comment I will give for tonight. And now we will give out our closing song entitled Wonderful Feast. Far away in the depths of my spirit, rose a melody sweeter than song. In celestial life strained it, unseasonably falls. For my soul like an infinite calm. Feel wonderful. So, on the Father above. Weep over my spirit.
What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul. So secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit, forever I pray in fathomless billows of love.
I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and His glory is flooding my soul. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
And methinks when I rise to that city of peace, where the author of peace I shall see, that will strain of a song with the ransom sing, and the heavenly kingdom shall be. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, down from the Father above. Weep over my spirit forever, pray in that soul of love.
Ah, souls, are you here without comfort and peace? Marching down the rough pathway of time. May Jesus your friend ere the shadow grow dark. Oh, I said the sweet peace of sublime. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
We men, let's have closing prayer, dear ones, and who fights off for that horse? Be still free to do so.
Dear and gracious Heavenly Father Jesus, we thank you so much that you have everything under control. That even though man thinks that they have things under control by either their intellect or their wealth, or the positions of power, we know, O Lord God, that you are in control of everything and nothing escapes your eyes. We pray, Almighty God, that you open our eyes so that we are very much aware at all times as to where you are right now in the most holy place and to what is taking place right now in this world, and how we have a mighty work to do, for there are many souls that need saving. We pray, Almighty God, that you please let us get some good rest tonight, so that we are well and refreshed for the morning portion of Sabbath, and greet you with great hallelujahs and amens. We pray, O Lord God, that you knit us all closer and closer together, and of course, closer and closer to you, as each and every day goes by. Thank you, dear Lord, for your mercy and grace. Thank you for this time that we had together. In Jesus' name we pray, O Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear Rachel. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, any testimony? Any songs that you would like to sing before we officially close tonight's service. If you have, please feel free to give your thoughts. Well, next time, dear ones, our next Saturday night service, dear ones, will meet on October 31st, 2025, by God's loving grace. It will be the very last day of October. And additionally, my last day of being guest host to the night service. And have a blessed evening, restful night. Until tomorrow, God bless you and yours, and as always, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.